Testing, testing. Oops. So it's been moved and seconded, and all in favor of the motion to shred the
ballots.
So, okay, all in favor? Yes, okay. Against, motion carried. Looking for a motion to approve the agenda circulated? Moved? By Herb, yeah, seconded, okay. Moved and seconded. Approve the agenda circulated. Any questions? All those in favor, signify by raising the right hand. Against, motion carried. Approval of the notes. This is strictly, is there an approval motion or just, okay.
Oh, no, there isn't, sorry.
No.
It's been a long day.
Just we have to nod our heads. We agree to the notes that we saw. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Business arising from the minutes. 5.1 on page 2. Approval amendments to policy number 36.
Excuse me. That's just talking about the two things that were passed by council. So, where did this one come from? Did I put the wrong thing up here? Oh, no, no.
No, it's in the middle there.
So it's the administration department.
Yeah,
so approval of amendments of policy 36, fire emergency services. So that's where council approved the amendments to that to have the code of conduct added to it. So that's what that was.
All right, that's just for information purposes.
And then the recommendations for the appointments of the members of the fire service to the FESC from the AGM that was passed by council.
Yes, item 7.1.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I just went right down through it.
No, don't go there yet.
Okay, I'll wait for you.
Okay, so 5.1.
You're next.
6 is the Lunenburg Regional LRFES meeting. And I don't have a written report. I normally do, but I did not write it down. And I know that I attended and that it was a good meeting. And we talked about FSANs and the impact of the things with FSANs and LRFES's kind of reaction to some of the things that FSANs had done and was doing. And that really was the highlight of the meeting and then the normal business, but there was nothing that was being brought forward to here. So unless, Emily, you have a point on something that I'm missing.
Does everybody know what FSANs is?
Fire Service Association of Nova Scotia. Yes, sorry. It's a lot of those out there, and we assume people know what they mean. So, okay, new business. 7.1 is Fire Services Representative to FESC, which is this committee. And I just
talked about that.
You talked about that a second ago.
So council did approve the members that were nominated and passed at the AGM. And council approved those members that are sitting around the table tonight, except Dean. So congratulations again for you this year.
Thank you. The next item is the training initiative review, pages 4 through 8. You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make sure I'm on the right one here.
You are.
So this was the strategy that we had talked about, I think last year in 2020, early 25, I think it was, we talked about this and we went through it. And I just wanted to go through and show where some of the changes were that we made. So, actually, the work plan started in 23. Mm. We had different meetings with the FESC and Lunenburg Regional on that to compare different concepts. And down here, there was some of the different needs of the community or the county. So, some of the changes are in the... Oh, sorry. Some of those changes in the new to the programming, and since we had this put in on the report. So the level one program, anything that's highlighted there with bold lettering. So the new level one program that's being put on is now through the IFSTA program, which is I think it's International Fire Services Training Academy or Association. So Emily's using that, and the new instructors that have taken the training are doing that now. So it's a standardized platform that's recognized across North America basically for fire services. To take that level one or other training. So that's what they're utilizing now. So a lot of work put in by Emily to get the administration and all that kind of stuff done. And now the instructors that are coming along underneath of that
are teaching to that standard, and they were all taught a level one instructor training course. So they're all trained but not certified. The certification side isn't through the province somehow yet, so they're trying to figure out how we can do that if necessary. Strategy and tactics course was offered last year, and I think Emily's looking at another one this year. Am I right or wrong? Yep. Specialized training, so there's always some of that stuff going on. Nothing per se yet, but I know Emily has got some different training and stuff going on. Driver operator, I didn't put that on there, but the province is now looking at having local areas having their own driver examiners. So what they can do now is if a fire department, say, if Northfield has a driver that needs his Class 3 license with air brakes to drive an apparatus with air brakes over the weight category that's required by the province or that most departments in our county are utilizing now, there's going to be a couple of people in each area that can do a training course that's been authorized by Registry of Motor Vehicles and that group so that they can do that training. So they're going to train a few individuals that can do it. They're going to give them training on doing the examination part. So instead of drivers having to take an apparatus from here to Kentville or some other place to get their driver test done, they'll be able to take it here locally. So that's a bonus that they're looking at. So apparently it's all been approved. Everything's gone through. Now it's just a matter of getting the people in those places trained so they can start offering it. So that's a real bonus when that happens. And then the province has some live fire simulators available. I think they have four of the car dumpster type fire simulators that are on like propane powered. So there's like a metal car and a metal dumpster and a propane tank that they can use simulation for live fire without burning anything. And I think I saw something on Facebook this morning, but then I couldn't find it again. So CBRM just did a training course using one of those. I saw an evolution there with it. And you would have been interested in seeing that. So I saw it, but then I couldn't find it again. So I don't know what happened to that feed. But that's good to see that those are actually starting to be used. So in enhanced local level one training, so I went through a lot of that above. Enhanced budget, so now the budget, MLDL has an approved budget of $40,000 for the 26-27 season for level one training and other training that will be put on. And there's a training stipend now being offered to the instructors that are doing the training courses for so much a day that they are putting the time in for that training, which is really important, I think, for them to be, you know, get some recognition for the extra time and effort that they put in. So that's good to see that coming on. And funding for other trainer, like I say, the driver operator, some specialized things, maybe some leadership training also. So payment for instructors, I said that. So this is all the things that are going on so far. And some MODL assistance in coordinating training would be like the soft training we do for officers for soft skills. That would be one of those that we do.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Yep. You added 40 to the training budget, so is it 52 then?
No. No, so you got your 12 last year.
Yes.
And then they added 40 to it this year, so that's what it's going to be, is the 40.
They added 40 to it.
They gave you 40 to this year's budget.
It's approved at 40,
right?
Not 40, 52,
right?
Okay.
So you got the last year's grant of 12.
Yes.
This year they approved 40 total, so that's what it'll be moving forward. And unless you know more ask coming.
I just when I read it, I just it added 40 to the training budget. I made an assumption that it was added to the 12.
No. We nice, don't. Nice thought.
Nice try.
Uh-huh.
I tried.
It did. Valid point. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So I covered all those points. Courses already completed and planned, so these are some of the ones that Emily had done last year and some that are looking coming up this year. So all very standard training things for firefighters and new officers. So you actually did some level one, some officer training last year, did you? Or was it a strategy and tactics course you did?
Yeah, so in late last year, we did a two-day strategy and tactics, which is targeted at officers or experienced firefighters. I did a second one for one department and a couple of extras in March, I think it was. So I actually have done that twice. The scene safety officer, we're going to talk about that. Hazmat awareness, I'm actually doing the first one this coming weekend.
Awesome.
For our current crop of level one good students.
Yep.
Instructor one, we did in January, February. And then the other two are in progress for possibly the fall into early 2027. Yep.
Thank you. So things are moving ahead, but the training is coming along nicely. Instructors are coming along nicely, and so if it's gaining some momentum, it's just be nice to have some more instructors in the pool. So something Emily continues to work on, and as people go through the system. I kind of touched on that already. They moved away from the old vector solutions theory training to the new VISTA platform, which is more in tune to the way fire services are being trained across the country. And it looks like the ISTA is what's probably going to be recognized by the province when it moves forward, but because that seems to be the standard most are using. So we hope that that's what they're going to utilize. It should be. Emily talked about the hazmat awareness. We don't have any pro board certification or any kind of certification in process yet in the province, but that may come down the road. We don't know how the new fire commissioner is going to do things when they come into power. I don't think there is one yet, but we'll see what happens when that takes place. Like I said, council set the budget, Lunenburg Regional. So this is how it's going to work, like for the grants down the road. Council sets the budget for training, and Lunenburg Regional will notify the fire services coordinator of the training plan for date, sizes, and costs. So it looks, we'll be like normal, like in November we do the budget when we're asking for things, and then that'll go forward from there. Fire services coordinator will pay the grant, so we're going to pay up the grant, or the funding will pay up to 75% of the cost of the course. And then they like to see 50% enrollment, and then the other 25% will be paid by the fire departments or what's in that fund of Lunenburg Regional or whatever.
Reserve.
But I think the original discussion was they would use that and departments would pay. So we'll see how it works down the road, pay that portion. And facilities.
Question over here.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a question about training before you move on? So the training fund, does that cover most of the training that, like most departments, when they pay for training, it goes through that fund for the most part?
No. It's only...
The idea for this fund is that it will be used for training that is generally made available to all the Lunenburg Regional member departments. So, with some exceptions, because obviously we can't allow everybody in. Like our level one program, for example, was open up to every department, but we had to cap student numbers for, you know, feasibility. If a department, and we've said this to departments just to be clear on this, if an individual department decides, I need to train my members. In fact, here's a good example. I just had somebody ask me today about water rescue. This particular department is getting into water rescue. They have a particular departmental need to train their members in water rescue. That's not something that they would necessarily get this funding. That would be funded and paid for by that department because it's a departmental need. Now, if they wanted to open it up to everybody in Lunenburg Regional, then they could be eligible to at least apply for some of this funding. And that would be decided on by the executive of Lunenburg Regional. So that's kind of the difference. We wanted to make it clear to departments that you are still absolutely allowed to pick your own training priorities. So, but if you choose to open it up to everybody, then you could potentially tap into this fund, if that makes sense.
So it talks about, the other thing was the regional training facility. So since we've been talking with the province and different areas, they say that they've been looking pretty strongly on our area for enhancing the training props that we have here currently, because we have some pretty decent props in our area. Northfield has a decent static prop there for interior searches and a propane prop. Bridgewater has a tower, a maze, water in-ground cistern that was partnered with the municipality of Lunenburg and Bridgewater Town. So that's able to be used for pump training and testing. So that's in place. LaHave has a nice burn cell that they're looking at expanding. So in conversations with the mayor and some other people and with the province, we're thinking maybe we can work together to maybe enhance and strengthen those areas across our municipality instead of trying to figure out how to build one site where we already have such good props already in place. It'd be a shame just to abandon some of those. So that's kind of where we're headed with this, and seeing if we can get some funding from the province where they're strong right now about supporting local fire training and facilities. So that's what we're hoping for. So we're hoping to have some meetings lined up with that to see how that goes. So the minister seemed pretty interested in it. I know at the annual general meeting that the mayor mentioned that. You know, there was a fund there, and they'd be willing to talk to them about partnershiping with something. So I think the minister and deputy are definitely interested. So hopefully something does come out of that, because I think it'd be something very beneficial if we could do that. We have so much already now in place. It wouldn't take a ton of extra funding to make it even better, right? Where some areas they'd have to start right from scratch. So I think that's a really good bonus. So that pretty much where that is. And I talked about these are where the facilities are currently. Blockhouse also has a new fire dynamic prop. We call it the dollhouse. It used to be built out of wood, and you could have sliding doors and openings into it so that you could have a group of students there. When you talk about fire dynamics and fire flow and how it reacts, you can open a window here and open a door there, and you can see how the smoke and fire reacts through the building and what it does. It's very realistic, and it's kind of neat to watch how it works. So they have one they bought out of, that's made out of metal now, that should have a little more longevity. So we'll see how that works. Hemford has a little ventilation trainer, and Concrawl Bank has a rehab bus. So the rehab bus is a very useful tool in the fire service lately in the last number of years, and they're being called more and more when there's structure fires and things like that. So the health and safety of the firefighters is paramount, and they're really key in keeping that safe and working on the fire scene. So.
If you wouldn't mind, if I could just mention something about facilities before you move on.
Yep.
I just want to make clear so that everybody knows those facilities that are listed are just a fraction of what we actually have available to us. These are the ones that we use pretty much primarily for our level one training. For example, Lunenburg Fire Department has a pretty extensive training ground. Dayspring has a search building, a building that we can use for primary search. Headville has a trailer that can be used for primary search. Those props that are listed are just the ones that we use for level one. There's a lot more out there, just to show the diversity of what we do have in this county. And just on a side note, we've been trying to communicate that to the province through the beginning of the modernization process to let them know what we already have down here. So, yeah.
It seems... what happened to that?
I don't know.
Unplugged. I hit her with my arm. It'll come back, maybe.
I went to sleep.
It comes. It'll come.
Just like we should be.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen when I'm in control of it. That's for sure. So, yeah, so thank you for that, Emily. That is very true. We do have a lot of other things and facilities that people utilize out there. So we're pretty fortunate, I think, to have what we have, because there are some areas that have nothing. They used to have to always travel to do the work or makeshift things, and we're pretty fortunate. So if we could beef some of these things up with the assistance of the province, that's where we're really striving for, and I think, you know, we have a chance to do that, so let's just try to move forward and hope we can do that. That's what our hope is. Okay? I think that's it.
Thank you.
I guess that was understandable. I guess I wasn't too all over the place on that.
Can you just talk a little bit about why one direction is favorable over another? So the regional training facility, I kind of pictured, you know, one facility that the region, maybe not just Lunenburg, but the whole area would come to. what are kind of the considerations going into deciding to look at it as like building up mm-hmm. the different sites as opposed to building a new site?
I think the biggest number one thing is probably cost to do a one site thing, because then you have all kinds of extra costs associated with that just to build a new site, and the certifications and everything that go along with it would be pretty paramount in cost. So that's one of the main reasons. And a lot of the things we have in place now are already to a NFPA or to a certified level, and a lot of cases are that wouldn't take much work to get them there. And there's another couple areas that probably could use a little bit more work, but it still would be cheaper than trying to get land and build a facility on it with all those characteristics, right? And this way, although one site would be nice, you can utilize different sites with more departments than trying to do it all on one site, because to get multiple departments all doing something on one site, you'd have to have it spread out over a fire training ground that would be big enough to accommodate all those different things. I'm not saying that it couldn't be done, but this seems to be a very favorable way of doing it. And I think the province is pretty favorable about doing it this way. And I know, speaking with the mayor, she seems to think this is a good approach, and she really is in favor of like an approach to build on what we have, so it's each area has a strong point instead of just trying to have everybody come to one place. So I feel that's a good way to move forward with it too. So, and it's not my decision. It's a
political.
It's a decision of the group and the politics and whoever else is involved with it, right? I don't know if that makes sense or not.
So, Mike, I have a question. So will the reserves that have been put aside for the facility be able to be used in this context now?
That's not my decision to make.
Okay.
But I know the mayor did tell the deputy minister at our meeting that funding is there and that she would be willing to go to the table and discuss it, and then it would have to come back to this group and then probably the council to say, hey, listen, this is what we would like to see that money go to. This is what we can gain from it. And then council would have to make a decision if it was warranted to move some of that money to one of those different avenues. So that's kind of that's how the process would have to work. We just can't say, yep, we're going to do it.
No, I know it's reserved for a facility, so that
but,
might make
if,
it
if council was saying, yes, we can get different areas in the county beefed up to a point that are certified or able to be utilized in a better manner by more people, instead of trying to get one that's going to take a number of years to build and get to a point where it needs to be, I think that's probably a favorable way to do it. And I can't speak for council, but they're usually very thoughtful and very approachable when it comes to fire. So I think all we can do is go forward and take it to them if it comes to that point and see where it goes.
Good. Thank you.
Hopefully that answers your question.
It does.
I usually have Alex here to answer all these kind of more technical things, but I think I managed all right tonight.
Okay, our next item is the registration package, KPI data collection, page 9.
Yep, so when we had a couple of meetings here a while ago, we had asked for some of these key points to be added to the registration packages over the last number of years. So we added like the total number of firefighters, active firefighters trained in over to level 1, and how many were certified to the Pro Board certification. And now this year we added authorized drivers to the registration. It already had officers trained on it, like how many officers did you have, how many of them had training. And a safety officer was another question that was on there the last couple of years to see who had a safety officer and if they had training or who had one in place. And the usage of the volunteer fire assistance program for families.
Yeah.
So that's been utilized. A couple people use it a year. It's not heavily utilized. But if a couple people can get some really valued use out of it, we're going to go forward. It's never been on there before as a question, so I'm going to go back to the Green Shield and ask them if they can give me the last number of years of how many people actually utilized it, and then we'll be able to have it on our – when I do my report in a year, we'll have some of these numbers in there so we can see a chart over a number of years where we're kind of like where it's going up or down or what the flow looks like for that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I guess the question is, are these key indicators still valid? Would you like to see something different or added or something taken away? Or, I guess the question is to the committee is, what would you like to see anything else or enhance to make these different or better? to capture the information. I mean, we are capturing some good information with these, but that's what the question, I guess, was.
Yes, in fact, the last sentence of your report is the committee can review the list, if the committee can review the list, see if other indicators would be helpful in seeing a snapshot in time of fire and emergency services. So I don't know if anybody has any comments at this particular point in time, but if not, they can bring them back.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
you know.
So I think we have a tone of what's going to come down from the province as some of the early priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing the answer to this for most departments would be no, but it may be worth thinking about adding on there a question about, have you done a risk assessment? Do you have a risk assessment?
Yeah.
Just to get them starting to think about the fact that you're going to have to do one. Because
it's coming.
Another question you could ask too is along the lines of, you know, your training, do you track your training? Do you have training records?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
That's coming too.
And if you start asking the question now in their registration package, that might cue a few people to think, why are they asking that now? Because the tone, it seems to be that those are going to be some of the first couple things that gets done, the record keeping and the risk assessments.
So I won't capture that in this year's registration package, but next year's registration package, we definitely could add that too. So that's good. That's definitely good information for sure, right? We did see I've seen one fire department so far sent back, and they actually have two fire departments, and they do have their categories marked for drivers, so even if they're a Class 5 driver, they have it marked off, so that could be like a utility vehicle or something like that. And they have air brakes on there with Class 3, so that'll give us a pretty good picture of what kind of driver standards that we're using out there, which would be a nice thing to see, because there's still the odd department that doesn't have that. They still go by the Class 5 with air brake endorsement that the province still has in their book as a legislative requirement that's okay to use. So most departments have moved away from that and do the Class 3 only, which is a better, safer avenue. But that's where it's at this point in time. So no, those are the good points. We can definitely do that. And I could also maybe do a little thing and send it out to the department saying that that will be added to maybe next year's registration package, so it gets them thinking ahead of time a little bit about it. We could easily do that, right?
I know we haven't always had the greatest success with surveys and Survey Monkey stuff, but at least it could be something to get them thinking.
Yeah.
Just a little survey about what is your, you know, like we did a few years
did
ago on
back.
The flow testing and stuff.
Yeah,
I think
we could try it, see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
it for that. 7.4, I had this added to the agenda, and actually it's kind of talking about the same things Emily talked about, because coming this fall is this, you know, if I can, from what I've read in all of the stuff that they provided from the province, is that so far we've been always, oh my goodness, and then we're reacting to that and not knowing the impact that it may have. And I know that they seem to jump rather quickly to things. I think Chris mentioned a little while ago, he's not sure that they've even got a commissioner yet, a fire commissioner.
I haven't seen an ad out for it yet.
And the fire marshal, though, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that.
Him and his assistant are both gone.
Right. So some of the most important things that I thought we needed to maybe get talking to them about is this risk assessment thing, that part of it is that they're actually providing a tool and the training of the people to use that tool,
mm-hmm.
to do this risk assessment, because I think that everybody, generally speaking, a risk assessment is an important thing. I think everybody understands the point of that, but then they're taking that and they're putting into some standards that we may or may not know about, and all of a sudden you did your risk assessment, you know that you got this, and you're not really ready or trained for that. And the province may say, well, these are what you have to look after now. So there may be some things, and I just think we need to start talking about it so that we don't get like we were the last time. We were all in January or February meeting saying, oh my goodness, look, what's this study like?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
So I think that that's one thing. Data collection is another. They're going to be concerned about having records on all firefighters and in great detail, which you need to be keeping, knowing what courses they're trained in, you know, what level they're trained at, and so on and so forth. So in looking at this little fire service transition schedule that they gave, I determined by risk with clear correlation in coordination with the municipality, which we would assume that would be done even, you know, even without the shall and the may being changed, because we know that at this point, administratively, the structures, the societies and the commissions and that are still going to continue on the way they are or were, but they're moving the other things forward in a way that, you know, things are going to start changing in the fall. We've got one meeting in July, and then we have another in September, which isn't a whole lot of time. And if they move quickly, which they seem to do, they may be saying something, and we're not really ready for it as such, right? So I don't know. Chris, you can, even if you can add any more than that, than what I'm saying, to it, because, you know.
So I haven't heard a whole lot more. I mean, at the Fire Service Association's conference this year, the Deputy Minister spoke, and she covered some of these areas, and she again went over the training, the assistance they want to do with the training. She also talked about just risk assessment, and the tools that they're going to provide, and the data management. So there's a new program that the fire chiefs use, a program now as local assistance to the fire marshal, that they report all of their fire calls on, and it's very clumsy and archaic to use.
Yeah.
And a lot of fire chiefs hate working with it because it's not very fun to fill it. The new one is supposed, I thought it was supposed to have been released by now, but there's a new program out there that hasn't been issued yet, has it? So the new one that's supposed to be issued is from what they say, is more user-friendly. It's going to have easier drop-down windows for fire departments to enter and chiefs to enter their data into, instead of trying to fish around in some of the ways it used to be. And it's supposed to have a data collection system into it to collect records and training that weren't collected by the province in the past. So the province had some records and training, like from level one certification things from the Pro Board, when the fire school did those for the fire marshal's office for the province, when they did that editing of the fire service, when they did the testing or whatever. So until that happens, I don't know what's going to take place, but that's what they said at the meeting was going to happen, and it's supposed to be training coming out to each area to help them train on that. And same with the data collection and entry for all these training records are supposed to be coming out and training all the different departments on how to utilize the system to make it as easy and the transition friendly as they can. So that's the last I've heard about that. As far as the regulation standards, I haven't heard what they're thinking of. Originally, you know, when you read these things, they're talking about the NFP standards and the different standards for level one firefighter and driver and all those things. So I haven't heard what their thoughts are yet. And the fire commissioner, when that person gets put into office, that'll be their role, and their assistant fire commissioners, they will be the policy and regulatory one manager. So those will be that will be their responsibility on what will the training standards be, what will the certification requirements be. So that's what a fire commissioner does. That's their role, is the policy, the regulations, the standards. And then they put out to the fire service and states, this is what we want, this is what you need to do to comply to it. So what that's going to look like, I have no idea, but that, or what, how high in the standard they're going to go and what they're going to ask for, I'm like you, I have no idea. The province hasn't said too much about that right now. I'm sure there's been talks about where it's going, because I'm assuming that once the fire commissioner is in place, they're going to start moving more in that direction until they have somebody in that role. And like I say, there's a person in the fire marshal's chair temporarily now until that person becomes elected or put into place. I think they just put the fire commissioner into place. So that's where it's kind of at now. I just had an email across my desk this afternoon late. So in June, there's going to be a 2.5-day conference for fire service coordinators and emergency management coordinators put on by the Department of Emergency Management. And then the 2 days are for those two groups. And the second, there's going to be a third half day for fire service coordinators only. So I'm kind of hoping to kind of divulge some more information on what they're thinking of, yeah, and get some feedback from the people in the room. That's what I'm hoping they're going to do. I really don't know. I haven't even seen an agenda yet. They just sent out to ask today to see who could attend it. They did one back earlier in the year for – they had one in Chuaro for the same group. They had actually elected officials and CAOs and for there one day. Then they had emergency management coordinators there one day, and then they had fire service coordinators in a mix in the afternoon. So that was basically the same thing, just everybody talking about how they saw things and their roles, and that was earlier on in the process. So I don't know for sure, but I think that's maybe what they're looking at doing in this little conference setting, is to say these are some of the things they're looking at and get feedback on, but I can't say for sure, but it might just be some type of an update and workshop. Until I see what the agenda is, I really can't say too much more about it. But
yeah,
at least they're involving that part of the process, I guess, to see where it's at. I can't say anything more. I would hope when they get ready to move standards and regulations out, they put it out to the municipalities and fire service to say, this is what we're looking at, and get some feedback on before they just say that's how it's going to be done. I think the province may have learned that that's not really the best process to use. So anyway, that's about all I have to say on that.
I think a question there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say both Councillor Reinhardt and I and the mayor and the deputy mayor were at the Federation of Municipalities conference last week, and there was an update from the Department of Emergency Management. And I can share a link later to the presentation slides if people want to take a look at it. But a couple of things that kind of stuck with me from their presentation was Deputy Minister Sandra McKenzie really emphasized that there's never going to be any, like, instant compliance when the regulations, you know, come out and the standards come out. They are really trying to reassure people that it'll be phased. And I did feel like there is like a bit of a shift in tone of we're listening. Yeah. We're going to be out there on the ground talking to you and making sure that it's not going too fast, but that they still, you know, it's not that they're not going to keep moving forward with it. And then the other thing that really stuck with me was that they talked about the outlook for this summer and how we're in for another really dry, hot summer. And I was shocked that they said that dryness is already widespread in early in the season, and that 24% of Nova Scotia is already classified as being in drought.
Yeah, it's already in a deficit.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
And because I, you know, one thing that the deputy minister said was, you know, a lot of people feel like we got all that snow and we get all this rain, but there's still a ton of drought. And, we're in for another really dry, hot summer.
That's the prediction, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and she talked about also, I don't know if you want me to talk about this anymore, but she also talked about the woods ban and the judgment that came out about that.
Yes.
And she just kind of emphasized that the premier has said, you know, that he would use that tool again, but now they know how to use it.
Yes.
That they have to justify that they have done the consideration of individual rights versus collective rights and weighed that carefully and kind of shown their analysis. But they were clear that they would use that tool again if they had to. So but I'll send out the presentation slides.
That's good to hear.
They're
that.
Just on their website.
And at the FSANS conference, she had that same kind of tone when she talked. So yeah, I think, like you say, the tone softened a bit. They are going to move forward and stuff, but it's not going to be like, I don't think the hammer they came out with the first time, because that doesn't work. So it does sound promising, you're right, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And my only point of having it on the agenda was to start having us think about it. Because, you know, if someone hears something, you find something out, the group needs, people need to know things, right? And once you know where it's headed, we know that there's going to be regulations, there's going to be a fire commissioner hired, regulations, and then, you know, this thing says one consolidate provincial legislation fire service regulation establish oversight by the province. Province sets standard for municipalities to use community risk profiles to determine service levels. It's who provided by the province to align that with the risk, and on it talks about how bang, 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 that they do want those things to happen. Records management tied directly to into dispatch data includes call types, dispatch time, queue times, and travel time. So it's a lot of, it's certainly a lot, and that was my reason for putting it on there today to have discussion. So I don't know if there are any other comments on that. Yes.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. One thing that really resonated with me from her talk was she made a point to say that there is a place for everyone in the departments, because I know I'm hearing a lot of concern from firefighters about they may not be able to meet a certain standard of training, and they may not be, you know, part of the department. So she did say that. So there, it sounds like there could be some flexibility there in the training standards, but it, we'll have to see what comes in the regulations.
Yeah, I mean, the intention, clear intention, is to make fire service better in the province and standardization of things. And that comes in the way it's been done for a long time. To change that takes some time as well. It just can't be instant, as much as what they were trying to do originally with this was a hammer. And the backlash was pointing to them that you just can't do things that fast and quickly. So we're hoping that we get a chance to talk about the things as they do them, what they're suggesting, that we have time to make sure. Because it's, as Chris is saying, it's these meetings and those meetings and this group and that group, and that all takes time to happen for people to learn from that, right? I mean, they started these sessions, well, I went to one in July in Amherst, last July, and it's almost a year from then. We're here, we are again, and, you know, just, it goes fast. Time goes fast, and I'm hoping that we don't get into the bind that we were last time. So
thank you.
No added items? No in camera? Motion to adjourn?
Like
been moved.
Gotta like it.
Gotta like it.